Hey, welcome back to the Brian Park Project from NPR News. We're online all the time at npr.org/Brian Park. What you been reading out there? What you been sending to your friends? It's time to find out. We're going to do the segment where we examine the most emailed, most read, most mosted stuff on the internet. We call it the most. And I'm going to go first today, since I'm already talking into the microphone. This is one of the most emailed stories at CNN.com, and it makes reference to a story that we actually looked into a couple of months ago. It's about a lost treasure off of the coast of Spain. A private treasure hunting firm, agency, organization, corporation, whatever you want to call
entity.
It. Entity. Out of Florida. It's called the Odyssey Marine Exploration. They're modern-day treasure hunters. They found 500,000 silver and gold coins when they were deep-sea scavenging on the bottom of the ocean. They found these coins in an old Spanish naval vessel. And now the Spanish government says, hey, yo, those coins are ours. We need them back. It was a naval ship, and so we have ownership over that. And the modern-day treasure hunters say, not so much, finders keepers. And now it's going to court. The Spanish government is accusing the corporation of looting a gravesite. They say that this vessel, this ship sunk, people died on it, it's a gravesite.
And their point is, if anyone's going to loot that gravesite,
it's going to be us. And we actually interviewed a guy, a writer, journalist with The New Yorker, who did a really long piece, really fascinating story on who these modern-day treasure hunters are and examining this exact case. Very interesting. Go back to our website and find that story, maybe.
I'd like to call on Lauren next.
I would like to hear
Lauren,
from Lauren.
Your hand is up. Go ahead.
All right, I've got the most emailed from Yahoo News, and it's a really fascinating story. Five scuba divers scuba diving off the coast of Indonesia. They get knocked off their boat, and they, as the newspaper put it, they survive in shark-infested water for 12 hours. Oh. Finally, they make
it
onto
a... By the way, only shark-infested, never shark-populated,
shark-rich.
They're a pest.
Water's lousy with sharks. No, shark-infested. But sorry,
They make it. They make it onto an island. They're like, all right, we're doing better now. They scrape mussels off of rocks and are eating, and they're doing fine. And then on Friday, they're faced with a Komodo dragon. And these are the largest living lizards, according to my Wikipedia research. They can get, they're between 6 and 10 feet long, and they have been known to eat humans. So these exhausted divers threw rocks and wood at it, and it ran away, and they survived, and they were rescued the next day.
Wow. I have one of the most emailed story from the Komodo Times. Idiot divers annoy us. Ian.
Good mag. I have a most popular from the Detroit Free Press. You know, the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup.
Uh-huh.
They take it around. They celebrate. They took it to Chelly's Chili Bar, owned by Chris Chelios.
Of course.
And somebody dropped it, and it got dented.
How badly?
Well, here there's some response. Brett Lebda. The rumor is that he's the one that dropped it. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't drop it. That's a bad rumor going around. Chelios says, I'm not saying nothing. I looked at the cup today. There's no dings in it. There's nothing wrong with it. So it's a rumor, a bad rumor. NHL spokesperson Bernadette Monser says, yeah, there's a dent in it. but it's all right.
I can't believe they're allowed to just take that thing out.
You can take it in. I bet they ate chili out of it.
The history of the Stanley Cup, it has been left behind in more gas stations and lost in more rivers, and this thing has been around the block. Sort of like Chris Chelios himself, who actually is dented. He's a longtime NHL player. Mark, is Mark willing to join us?
I will try.
Go ahead.
We've got a most emailed at the Boston Globe. It's something we talked about a little bit in depth on the BPP a while back, but this series of earthquakes in Reno, actually in and around Reno, and thousands of them actually, mostly small, referred to as a swarm. I had actually thought that was something only bees could do, but apparently earthquakes can swarm as well. Mm-hmm. But around like 3 magnitude, and it got quiet for a little while, but then it kicked up again on Sunday, and they saw a big pickup. Still no major damage, but it's got everybody kind of freaked out because it's a lot, like it's a series of quakes, you know, they'll come sometimes a dozen at a time, and kind of weirds everybody out around in Nevada.
Do you know what that feels like, a dozen at a time as opposed to a big one?
Well, not all at once, yeah. Well, like the 3 magnitude, it's kind of it's a rattle, but they don't have any big damage like that, so.
Interesting. All fascinating.
Very interesting.
Stuff.
Matt Martinez?
I believe Mr. Martinez is here to
yes.
take us into some tape.
I do. Yes. I'm going to take it. It's so luxurious this morning. We actually have a little bit of time to breathe.
Isn't it?
You know?
I feel like we're always rushing
We're always jam-packed by the time we get to me. And then I'm like, we're spouting off things and I'm not understanding what I'm saying.
Do you want to just tell us about your day, how you're feeling?
Yeah. 5 seconds, Matt.
You know, it's been pretty good. You know, it's been hot. You know, I've been kind of taciturn because of the heat.
You know, it's called The Most, but implied is the point, as in get to it.
Okay. One of the most emailed stories at NPR.org right now is a story about Josh Ritter and Hillary Hahn. We've had Josh Ritter on
Josh
the show.
Ritter.
I know.
I
he's
him.
Your
Sorry,
very, very favorite.
Him.
And Hillary Hahn, a concert violinist. And the headline is Hillary Hahn and Josh Ritter, an uncommon duo. And it's a story from the end of May that aired on Morning Edition, and it's been bumped back up to the most emailed lists. And here it is, reported by NPR's Tom Huizinga.
Hillary Hahn is a top classical violinist. Josh Ritter is a folk rocker. The two shared a stage at New York's Metropolitan Museum recently. She played classical pieces for solo violin, and he sang songs from his albums.
All the other girls here are stars, you are the northern lights.
When Josh Ritter plays with Hillary Hahn, half the audience is used to hearing Beethoven and Bach. He's clearly more comfortable in pubs.
It's cool to play without a bar sign behind me or anybody throwing bottles. I like knife fights.
Hahn has a different challenge. She's learning how to improvise around Ritter's gentle rock songs.
It's especially nerve-wracking before audiences that know something about it. At the same time, though, I don't want to write out a part. You know, I don't want to take a shortcut. So sometimes you have to take the risks and try new things, and sometimes they fall flat in a concert. But some nights it really clicks, and it's those nights that click that you can keep in mind and try to learn from.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go.
The concerts Hillary Hahn and Josh Ritter give together are experiments. They each play their own music and come together only on a couple of tunes throughout the evening. It's not a crossover project marketed by a record company. Hahn and Ritter think of it more as a double bill. They first performed at a club in Montreal, where he invited her to improvise with his band and play a classical tune on her own.
She's like standing next to a tornado when she's on stage and playing. You know, it's something that I don't get the chance to see. I feel like I'm standing inside music.
When Josh Ritter backs up Hillary Hahn in a classical piece, he has to do something he's not used to, read notes from a music stand.
We do a piece together at the end of the night, the Cantabile by Paganini, and that has just been, that's the biggest musical like summit of my life so far. When that song is over, I just feel this like weight lift off me, you know?
Ritter and Hahn ask a lot from themselves, and they ask a lot from their audiences. Half come for her, the other half for him. By the time it's all over, Hahn says, a few discoveries have been made.
There are a lot of people who I've met after a show with Josh who said, wow, you know, I'm not really a classical person. I don't listen to a lot of classical music, but I really loved that stuff he played.
Our motives for this was to see if two types of music that were done very differently could be brought together for a single evening, but we didn't want to really meet each other on each other's grounds, because I can't play what she plays, but she can't play what I play, and we want to like trust that the audience is going to appreciate both of those things.
And that's NPR's Tom Huizinga reporting. You can hear Hillary Hahn and Josh Ritter's entire concert at NPR's music site, and you can find links to this and all the stories you heard on The Most by going to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. Thank you.